almost as much as I did not want to do the video where I confessed the prophetic call that the Lord had placed on my life, I did not want to share one of the most amazing parts of this episode. The reason is because I know how quickly the deceitful human hearts of many will be instantly filled with jealousy, envy, misjudgments, and misunderstandings. Sure, most of you will be truly filled with joy and awe of God and encouraged because you know that Lisa and I's father is your father and that his goodness towards us is a reminder of his goodness previously to you or to you yet to come. But I know how many more will give in to the corrupt temptations and evil of the human heart towards envy. Be on guard once again, brothers and sisters. Remember my admonition in a previous video. If you are going to envy the blessings of a servant of God, be sure to first envy all the sufferings. Guard your hearts, remembering this is God's story, God's testimony, God's sovereign choice, God's grace, God's election, God's property, and Lisa and I are God's children, just as you likely are if you are hearing this. Now let's let him do to all of us just as he sees fit. As King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 8:4, since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Or as Jesus said when Peter wanted to know how long the Apostle John would live compared to him, Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? But you, come and follow me. We must remember God does not give everyone the same, not in comforts or sufferings, not in spiritual blessing, nor in temporal. Matthew 25:15. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. For example, God has not given me an equal amount of suffering as compared to other Christians or Christian workers. I'm someone who can actually quote Jeremiah and Lamentations 1:12 and have it be a true statement. Jeremiah said, quote, is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me, that the Lord brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? One final reminder of this principle. In Matthew 20, in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, the people who only worked 1 hour were given the same pay as those who worked all day. And the other workers thought it was unfair, and they began grumbling against the landowner, which in the parable represents God. Jesus finished the parable by saying this, but the landowner answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now here's a brief recap of a few related events which have occurred previous to this amazing day of blessing and refreshing to Lisa and I from the Lord. On July 27th, 2019, we spent the first day prepping the land we first rented to park the tiny house on in Huntsville, Alabama. On May 9th, 2021, I received a prophetic date during a recorded prayer with Lisa. The date was September 11, which I thought for sure was regarding my arriving in New Zealand to marry Lisa. Then, on June 23rd, 2021, after Lisa gets a leading in prayer that we are supposed to send the tiny house to New Zealand rather than sell it, we both begin praying at her suggestion for a $40,000 fleece to show us if he truly wants us to do so. We told no one of our need or our prayer, but God alone. Exactly 5 days later, we received a notification of a $44,444 donation coming directly to us. We knew this was the word of the Lord. I sent off the tiny house on its 8,000-mile journey, where it arrived and spent its first day on New Zealand soil at the Auckland, New Zealand port on September 11th, 2021, 4 months and 3 days after that prophetic date was given to me that day in prayer. Then, at the end of May 2021, the Lord directed me to ship all five of my bags with all of my clothes and personal possessions off to Lisa in New Zealand. The bags left with FedEx on May 31st, exactly 7 months and 7 days since the airport disaster at Atlanta International Airport. By the time we reached June 2022, nothing new had happened for 8 months and 28 days. Think Romans 8:28. Since the tiny house had arrived on September 11th in Auckland, New Zealand, all had been completely silent. For nearly 9 months, like a baby in the womb, all was dark. There was no light. God was holding everything back. Our desires, our getting to each other, the bags, our finances, the John 7:17 book sales, even my work on these videos. By now, we were feeling desperate for some deliverance. Because we were already so exhausted, the bags getting stuck in custom for months just became such a frustration for us. And finally, I became tempted in a moment of weakness on the mountain to be mad at God. And I'm at this place where I've told Lisa I'm on dangerous ground. I haven't been this frustrated, I don't think, in years. He's pushing me to the point where I'm getting mad at him. It's like he's forcing me to get mad at him by causing these emails to come in and all this stuff to go with the bags. I'm just almost just like, forget it. Throw them all in the garbage. Oh, and I look over right now at this very second in a big old snake going beside me. Unbelievable. I'm sitting here on this rock talking about how frustrated I'm getting. I look over while I'm in the recording and there is a 5-foot snake going right across this branch while I'm sitting here talking about how angry I'm getting at God. What are the chances of this? Goodness gracious. In the last few episodes, I captured the climaxing of all this suffering during this previous 8 months and 28-day period. Then I can be heard telling Lisa over and over again that although God is doing all of this and it's very frustrating, He's doing it for a purpose in order to hit another precise date and to show His hand and His glory in all of this. Is being sent to her. No doubt God is intentionally holding those bags back to cause Lisa suffering, to stretch out the stretching rack time. There's no doubt about it. I have no doubt this is a way of God. He's intentionally delaying it. And then those bags, once the purpose is finished on our end, those bags will be released on a precise time. There'll be some precise timing. Those bags will be released on a precise time. There'll be some precise timing.
Michael commentary. So I want to share something with you that's an amazing little detail and something I discovered while making this episode. So if you will listen to the next like 10 seconds, this 10 seconds of clip comes directly from episode 87. You can hear it yourself on YouTube. When God puts your faith on the stretching rack. In this clip, you're going to hear me say, just like when God had me send the bags off 7 months and 7 days. As soon as you hear the word days, you're going to hear this abrupt, fast, hard cut. And the next thing you hear is me say, now it looks like, well, I cut part of me out. I want you to hear this and see if you can hear the abrupt cut, just like the 7 months and 7 days he had me send the bags off. Now, and listen for that abrupt cut. Here's the clip. Just like the 7 months and 7 days it was when God had me send them off, right now it looks like, oh, you should be so frustrated. And
okay, so that's how the clip sounded in episode 78. That's me editing out something where I thought I was wrong about something. I had speculated in several of my journal entries that the reason why God was delaying on the bags is that he was going to hit the what would have been the ninth 777-day event that he's done in my life, something major. I had discovered that it was 777 days. We were approaching it from the time that P removed her bags from the tiny house on April 23rd, 2020. The bags situation with all these emails with FedEx and customs, it was starting to look like we were approaching a 777-day window. And I thought, oh my goodness, I know what God's doing. Well, as enough time passed, the particular day that I was looking for came and went, and I thought, oh, well, I guess I was wrong about that. But nevertheless, I felt vindicated because, as you'll hear, I've been telling in previous episodes, wait until you hear the timing of the bags. Because when those bags arrived on Lisa's porch, indeed, the timing of it is astonishing, as you'll hear in just a few moments. But I want you to hear, because it's really important, I want you to hear what I cut out. It was me speculating about the 777-day event. So if I hadn't cut it out, that clip would have sounded like this.
Just like the 7 months and 7 days it was when God had me send them off, how amazing would it be if they arrived to Lisa 777 days? I mean, look at this. P removes all of her belongings on April 23rd, 2020. She packs her suitcases and leaves the house. I caught her packing the bags that morning. I did not know she was going to leave that day. She left that day. Now, how remarkable would it be if God takes all my belongings and moves them in 777 days later?
Okay, I just wanted you to hear that so you can be aware of how foolish it was for me to have actually removed that clip. This is another one of those times where for a short period of time, in all humility, I thought, wow, I've conjectured wrong. I might as well take this out. I'm right about the other date that God was going to do. And this will all make sense when we get to the end, okay? End of commentary. In the previous episode, number 87, I can be heard saying we have a marker day in the next 2 days telling us something is going to break loose for us. At one point, I tell Lisa, we may see multiple things break all at once, suddenly. This is another one of those many examples where the providence of God is prophetically telling me of a future delivery. John 14:29. Then suddenly, after 8 months and 28 days of darkness, a flood of blessing and refreshment came our way on June 6th and 7th of 2022. On the night of the 6th, Lisa received an email with a question about her name change forms. She was able to answer them immediately, which meant that her last name was now legally changed to Criswell on June 6th, 2022. She now officially had my last name, and I was wonderfully delighted and happy at this news. Then, at 4:30 p.m., on June 7th, 2022, I received an email that Lisa and I would be receiving a financial gift from an elderly sister who had been following the ministry for over 5 years. The Lord had previously moved her heart to give me an inheritance, but now to do so previous to her one day passing away. She had no idea that I had given up my inheritance from my own parents. She was given a specific number from the Lord to give to me, which, when converted to U.S. funds, came to approximately $174,000. Lisa and I rejoiced in the Lord's abundant provision, just ahead of our anticipated needs. We had already begun to realize just how much additional money we would need in order to actually be able to live in the tiny house one day, finding land and doing all the prep work necessary. Everything is very expensive in New Zealand. We had already found out that it could be well over $20,000 just for a septic tank install in New Zealand, not including other things like preparing the land,
the tiny house setup, a full off-grid solar system, which was going to be a requirement because my house was wired for 110 and everything in New Zealand is 220, not to mention a water tank system installed, etc. Where would we come up with the money for all of this? Our Father, of course. God knows our needs before we do, and when the time comes for Him to meet those needs, He does. Some of you may recall in episode 83, which was posted on August 28th, 2022, incidentally, another sign pointing to 828, Romans 828 right there, I mentioned the following words, which would turn out to be quite prophetic just 18 days later when I received her email on June 7th. So this is 18 days earlier to us receiving this money notice.
Now I have trusted God for amounts for $55,000 at one time, for $72,000 to build the tiny house in one time in 1 year. Up from 100. So you start with a small amount to trust God for, but now look, I can trust God for tens of thousands of dollars at any moment. That is incredible. If I needed $100,000 next week for whatever reason, I have the faith that I know that I can go to God and say, Lord, here's the need. We have this, and I have no problem at all believing God for it. I've seen Him do it.
Michael, commentary. It's important for me to point out that that recording you just heard was recorded on May 20th of 2022, but it wasn't shared publicly until August 28th. For those who may just find the channel and not understand, I never share my journal entries until long after the need has been met. So there was no way that this woman could have ever known about my need or about me saying, you know, I can trust God for $100,000 if I needed it a week from now. Understand how amazing this is, brothers and sisters. It's only 18 days later that I received the email from her that she's going to give us $174,000. But keep in mind, nobody, including her, ever knew that I had recorded that information about money until August 28th, of 2022, more than 2 months after her email came, and 2 months and 18 days or so more after I originally recorded what you just heard. That's really important for you to understand. That's one of the amazing things about my testimony, is that nobody knows what's going on in real time. It's always being told months, or in some instances, years later. Because one of the things that God has challenged me to do is to never, ever tell anybody what my needs were, to make my needs known only to Him through prayer and faith alone. So all of my stories are being told after the fact. End of commentary. Incidentally, this was the same generous sister who had first been led to send us the $44,444, which was a direct answer to our prayer for the $40,000 fleece, to see if God really wanted us to move the tiny house 8,000 miles away to New Zealand. I would like to share a part of a private recording I made to this sister, who in name will remain anonymous in accord with Matthew 6:4. I share this testimony of God's faithfulness to help build you up in your most holy and precious faith in our wonderful God and Savior. You have heard much about God's hand of suffering in my life over the many decades. It is good for you to now begin to hear about Father's hand of relief and blessings to me as well.
Hello, sister. Lisa and I just got off the phone. I've got about almost 3 hours invested on the phone call this morning with her. I still have energy. Before you send me your message telling me that you feel that it's time for you to send these additional funds, which I'm so thankful. Lisa and I, we praise God. We praise God. I was explaining to her that, and it almost brought me to tears, because I denied myself thousands and thousands of dollars. When God called me into this ministry, shortly after I started this road of going into ministry and was getting where I was getting the call, A man offered me $150,000 US per year plus bonuses to do video production for him, for to run his video production department in the car business, the automobile business. And I had met him at the Fort Lauderdale boat show. And he and I and his wife had all met, and they were Christians, and I really liked this guy. And he had millions and millions and millions of dollars. He had sold a company he had made to the Cox company. Auto Trader owned it, and they bought his company. So he made a ton of money, and he had started this new company. Anyhow, I liked this guy a lot. He contacts me and offers me this job shortly after I go into the ministry. And it was a test to see whether or not I would take it. And I needed the money so bad because I was getting behind on child support already. And I wanted desperately to take care of my children and to do good to my enemy. And I didn't know where the money was going to come from. And God asked me to deny myself. And he told me no. And so just the first person I was going to call and say, wow, you're not going to believe this. And I was at a friend of mine, Larry Smith's house. He's actually in my story video talking about that he was there when I got offered this job for $150,000. He saw it with his own eyes. And then he saw me have to turn it down because I got word from the Lord. He didn't want me to do it. And I just couldn't believe it. But I just said, I want to obey God no matter what. And I was explaining to Lisa that I got so low in money. You know, sister, I made $270,000, we paid ourselves. That's over $22,000 or something a month in 2007. So our little company was doing so well, and we paid ourselves US $270 that year. And by the time you get to 2011 and 2012, you know, where I'm starting a ministry and I've moved in with my parents, I'm so broke and I have no money that my parents would give me odd jobs, and I'd work odd jobs for a couple of people. I washed a World War II veteran's car. I washed it in detail and waxed it. And I think he gave me like, you know, $25, you know, and it's really making me quite emotional to think back on this kind of stuff, because I went from making all that money and I was so humbled, and I was doing these odd jobs just to make a little bit of spending money. And my parents paid me $500 for 3 days worth of work to paint their barn. And I remember being so excited about that $500 when just 3 years earlier, I had made $270,000 US. God had humbled me so much. And for all those years, he had me deny myself finances. There was a time when $28,000 worth of business was basically just given to me, cash business. It would have been 100% pure profit for me to make videos for a few people, these storytelling videos I was producing, and suddenly these jobs came up, and I was already $8,000 behind on child support, and I was like, wow, this is a miracle. God's going to give me this money. I'll be able to catch up on the child support balance, and I'll be able to... I'd be able to have some money left over in the bank. Oh man, I was so humbled, so tough. And I remember I was like, okay, I need to pray. I'm moving into ministry. I have to obey God. And I said, Lord, if you do not want me to take this, you're going to have to show me a 525, keep in step with the Spirit, you know, and you're going to have to show me. He was doing a lot of that. And next time I looked down at my phone, it was 525. And I knew God was telling me once again to deny myself. So he put me in these situations that were so unbelievably painful. You know, I mean, I had to constantly deny myself finances. And it was like God took the very thing that I had been so good at, making money, and he crushed me with it. He crushed me, and he made me put the fork to my own throat. And my parents just thought I was insane. My dad, I lost my father because I denied myself financially to obey the Lord. And I'd be walking up that sidewalk and I'd have no money to pay child support. And I would say, God, if you don't get me through this, I'm going to quit. If you don't get me through today, I can't stand denying myself like this anymore. And one time I got a company, I was in real need of money, and Shorelander Trailers, they're a huge trailer manufacturer here in the United States, and they make boat trailers for people that have like these bass boats and fishing boats and all that. And they had gotten my number and my name from back when I was in speaking, and they needed some sales training. And they said, Mike, we'll fly you in and pay you $5,000 to speak. So they were going to pay all my expenses and give me $5,000 to speak for a couple of hours at their sales meeting. And God told me no again. And then I got another opportunity. Somebody wanted me to be some sort of an online show host. And then there was this company that called me in Atlanta from one of my old past clients, and they wanted to make me a part owner in this company and make me this the spokesperson for it. And all of this happened like in 2011 and 2012, and it happened like back to back. It was all these temptations to see if I would deliver myself and take the comfort, or was I willing to continue to suffer. I got so far behind for those times because I trusted God on child support that the men in my Bible study turned against me, and they said, there's no way God would ever ask you to do this. This is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You're not hearing from God. And they turned against me. My parents thought I had a mental illness. My dad thought I had a mental illness. My parents' friends, they all thought I was nuts. My old friends and family, everybody turned against me because God was squashing me in the very area that I had so relied upon since I was 19 years old, and I started making thousands of dollars in commission as a salesperson. I got really good at making money. Then God came and struck me. He came and struck me in that area, the very area where I had been so self-sufficient. God stripped me of it. I didn't have money for the driver's license. You maybe have heard these stories. I didn't have a driver's license for over 3 months because I didn't have the $38 in money to renew it. And I went for an entire, I think, 14 months without a cell phone. Who's ever heard of such a thing? I went 14 months without a cell phone except for Wi-Fi. The only way you could get in touch with me at Starbucks is if I had Wi-Fi on my iPhone to get access to my email or an iMessage, because I could not afford to pay for my cell phone service, and my cell phone got shut off. And if you listen to Trusting God in the Wilderness, I think I took a lot of them out because I didn't want people to think I was delusional or whatever. But there were times when I would say, I know if somebody wants to, so God could move on somebody's heart to send me a $50,000 donation after he's seen my faith. And one day, you know, God can deliver me, and God can send the money that I need to pay off and to do this and to show me that he heard me. And then I used to conjecture and think that perhaps one day God would send me some money to help pay for all the years I worked for him for next to nothing. Granted, I'm not doing this for money, but I have to have money to live. And, you know, that's the way it works. You have to have money to live. And I worked all those years for peanuts, for basically nothing, foregoing that salary that man offered me. And I always wondered if one day God would somehow or another recompense me in that way a little bit. And this is very emotional for me because I reflect back on all the pain and suffering, and God has been so faithful to me. He tells me to build a tiny house. I have like $7,000 or $8,000 in my checking account. To build that tiny house cost over $72,000, and God told me to take the work off that year. And by the time that tiny house was done, God had given me every penny I needed to pay for that tiny house. Absolute incredible. And then he used you to give us the finances to get it to New Zealand. Incredible. And now he's using you to help get me the rest of the way to New Zealand, and maybe even be able to make a down payment on some land for the tiny house. Right now, we have no place to put it. So this is so incredible for me to be having this experience in light of all those years of suffering. And 10 years later, the 10th year after I've started full-time ministry, I started doing my first videos in 2011, and then I became full-time in the ministry in 2012. And this is incredible to see what God has done. And I'm so thankful for your generosity, and so thankful for your willingness to trust God and have faith in him, and to have given this to me. And I, for all these years, God squashed money out. I had gotten to a point where I knew if somebody wrote me a check for $1 million, it wouldn't make a hair on the back of my head stand up, because he stripped me in all those years. God made it to where money can't touch me. He tested me over and over and over again. Opportunities would arise, and I would say no to obey him. And I showed God and I proved to him all those years that money was not my master. I need money, but it's not my master. I use it, but it doesn't use me. And I just look back and I see what an incredible story that I was not a fool to trust God and deny myself. It just, I had to look like it for a number of years. But I'm so thankful for your incredible generosity to trust God, and that you too have been freed from your love of money. And now God's been able to use you with your plenty to supply some of our lack, just as it says in the scripture. It's remarkable. Today, you know, one of the things that the Lord does is he uses the 555 always to show me deliverance. And it's amazing how yesterday's video from October, I'm talking about how I have to believe God is with me. I have to believe I've heard from God. There's no other way. And how I made reference to God showing me 555 hundreds of times, and then he delivered me into court. You'll probably remember that. That's in yesterday's video. Well, right before the tiny house got sent off to New Zealand, my inbox remained stuck at like some number that ended with 555. So it was like 5,055 emails, and it would just stay stuck. No matter how many times I would check or decheck, it would go to like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then by the time I opened them, it would go right back to 5,055, and the new ones would come in. This happened, and it stayed this way for like 7 days before the tiny house left. And we knew it. I was like, wow, look at this. God is showing he's going to deliver. Sister, would you believe the exact same thing happened with somewhere between 5,555 emails were in my unopened inbox, in my inbox. So now the number was slightly different. Instead of it being 5,055, it was more like 5,555, right? It stayed like this for several days, and I have screen captures of all of this before we sent the bags off. I will deliver you. Well, so now this morning, I wake up to an email from Adobe. I open the email. I've sent you the image. If you look at that, there are 40 fives on that one image. And if you count them, there are exactly 12 sets of 555 with four remaining fives left over. But you can get 12 sets, number of completion, of 555. In addition to this, God has done 7 things in my life now in 9 months to the day. And I discovered 9 stands for divine completion. It's all over the scriptures. There's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ fed 9,000 people. Abraham was approached by God and spoke to him the first time when he was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. So 9 is a symbol of divine completion. If you look at that email, there are exactly 12 nines in that email. I've never seen anything like this. 40, a number of completion, fives, if you count them all individually. 12 sets of 555 when you look at them all together, and 12 instances of 9. Divine completion all over it. I will deliver you. That email comes in the very morning that you then tell me that you're feeling that it's time for you to send me the other $200,000. But this is really, really amazing that God has shown in advance, like something is coming, that I knew something is coming like this. And so thank you so much for being a part of this incredible journey. I really do appreciate it. I do not take it lightly. I mean, you know, there is this instance of the widow's mite. And so Jesus said, the woman who put in the least actually put in the most because she gave in all she had, right? So we understand the principle of the widow's mite. And so it doesn't mean that just because you could give 200,000 or somebody else can give 2 million and somebody can only give 2,000 or $2. We know that God judges based on 2 Corinthians 8:12. Second Corinthians 8:12. The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. But nonetheless, this is approaching like a third of your whole net worth. That is significant. That is a very, very significant gift. And I do not take this lightly, and I do not belittle this, and I treat this with reverence and respect And I want you to know, so does Lisa. We are amazed. We are not surprised, because our God is incredible and he's done amazing things for us. But we are continually amazed and blessed, and we have suffered so much, the denial of self and waiting upon God. And sister, I don't even know if I told you this or not. I don't think you know about this. But several weeks ago, it's been over a month now, a brother, guy who we believe God is going to use to help get me to New Zealand, was listening to one of my messages where I said, I think the Lord is definitely going to get me to New Zealand in an unorthodox way. I said, unless, of course, he decides to move on somebody's heart to donate $20,000 because suddenly he wants me to pay off the child support and, you know, get the passport and just go the normal way. And I said, but I don't think God would do that. Well, this brother was listening to this message, and suddenly he realizes that he has $20,000, the exact amount I mentioned, that he's been saving, that he was going to give to one of his sons. But it turns out his son didn't need it. His son got the funds from something else. So he says, I've just had this $20,000. He said he felt like that day on his ride that God asked him, would you be willing to give that to Michael? And he said, yes, Lord, I'll give it to him in a heartbeat. Yes, Lord, I'd be happy to do this. So he contacted me about it. Well, sister, I had already seen 919 four times that day and one time the next morning when he told me. So right before he tells me, I see it. I said, brother, any chance were you going to tell me this yesterday? Oh, yeah, man, I just ran out of time. I meant to call yesterday. I said, brother, God's already told me no. I tell you, I'm so thankful for your generosity. I appreciate it so much. It would have enabled us to go ahead and move forward in our own way. God was testing us. He was testing that man to see if he'd be willing to give, and testing me to see if I'd be willing to deny. And all that suffering and all that desire for Lisa and I to finally be through our suffering and to put down the pining and finally get through all this persevering and me being in this jail for over 9 months, walking back and forth, pacing inside this place, not having a car except for to borrow Tyler's, and being stuck and living out of a tiny little carry-on suitcase for all this time. I'd love to get free of it. God says no. And I denied myself, and I had to tell Lisa, this was exciting. This guy was, I was so excited he was willing to give like this. This was incredible. You know, I mean, this is a big deal. He's got a family, four children, and here he's going to offer me $20,000. Granted, most of his children are grown, but nonetheless, his wife doesn't work, and this was incredible. I was amazed by this. What a generous gift, right? And just like yours. And here, God tells me, say no. And then, I don't remember how many days after, suddenly I get the email from you, Michael, I have this thing maturing, 18,000. Granted, it's still not enough. And we noticed that it was not enough to pay off the child support, because I don't believe God wants me to. I believe that he did that in such a way to show me, don't do that. And now, I don't know how Father's going to do this, but somehow or another, God is going to make a way. He's already opening up and pointing to days and times, and there's already things happening. And then we had another marker day recently where her cousin called me on a video call from the salon that he works at to let me know, Michael, don't worry about it. Leave the tiny house here. You just get your backside here. You don't need to move. You don't need to pay us any money. The tiny house had stayed longer than what they originally agreed to. And now they suddenly, by the favor of God, had agreed, nope, just let it stay until you get here so you don't have to move it twice. This happened on a marker day. This was a blessing. So suddenly, after having no light and persevering day after day after day with just no end in sight and nothing happening to move anything forward for nearly 9 months, there's been nothing happen until the bags were sent off. We have just persevered and persevered and persevered. And suddenly I told Lisa, I said, this could be the best week we've had. I said, this could be our week. I told her this day before yesterday. I said, we could see your name paperwork change get through. We received an email yesterday about it. They had some questions. Lisa was able to make some corrections and explain, you know, what they needed to hear. And she said, okay, we'll process the paperwork. That happened yesterday on a marker day. So Lisa's name has legally been changed to Lisa Criswell. Praise God. My wife is now Lisa Criswell. They've already taken the money out of her account. They've authorized the paperwork, everything. Then we're waiting for the bags. The bags are still stuck, and we've been believing that they're going to break through at any moment, because believe it or not, her family want to use my suitcases to travel to New Zealand so they don't have to buy new suitcases. It will be ridiculous. So those bags are still stuck in customs. And we're waiting and waiting, and it's just absolutely crazy.
but yet we trust God and we know that He's working for a date and a time. I've been so excited talking to my wife. We are so excited. We feel like God is finally opening the floodgates and doing all the things He said He would do, that He promised us He would remove the mountains. We also see the tiny house issue, you know, with her cousin's property. That was another mountain. He said that He will raise up the valleys, that He will make the crooked places straight and the rugged places smooth, that He would remove and break through the bronze gates and cut through the bronze bars, that He would go ahead of us and send a messenger preparing our way for us. And so we believe very much You're being used as a part of that. You're being used to resource us in some ways. And I'm so thankful. And I can't wait to tell you how God uses it. So, sister, I'm going to go. I just want you to know I'm so thankful for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord who is faithful. Praise the Lord who is faithful in all the earth, who does what He says He's going to do, who keeps His covenant of love with those who obey His commands and keep the requirements of His covenant. Praise His holy name. Thank you for being a part of His incredible faithfulness, such a beautiful, historic, epic part of His faithfulness to Lisa and I. And I just can't think of a better way for God to bless us. And look at the number You gave us, 218. Genesis 2:18, it is not good for the man to be alone, so I will make a suitable helper for him. Praise His holy name. Look how amazing that is. And then your money is going to be used to help Lisa and I become husband and wife, whether it's the living or getting there. I don't have any idea how God will use it, but you can be sure that will happen. I am so excited after all of our suffering that God is showing that there's light at the end of the tunnel. We've walked in dark, Isaiah 50:10-11. Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, learn to trust in his God and rely upon the name of the Lord. But all you who light fires for yourselves and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires. Here's what you will receive from me. You will lie down in torment. God is so awesome. You know He is. I just hope that you can understand somehow or another. I want you to experience some of the joy that Lisa and I are experiencing from even the part of God's faithfulness through you to us. I pray that it blesses you. You know, the Bible says more blessed to give than receive. And we all give in different ways. I've been giving a lot of free, you know, videos and service and thousands of people and all that stuff. And so I've been blessed to give. And now you're getting this opportunity to be a giver in the finances. And I just pray that your heart is just filled with joy when you meditate on what this means to Michael Criswell and to Lisa Criswell. And literally, she's Lisa Criswell now. It's so exciting. We love you and we thank God for you and for your faith. And thank you for giving me the updates. And thank you that to Jesus Christ and His grace is upon you, and blessing you and taking good care of you. I'm so excited. Thank you so much. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the recording I sent you this morning. Talk to you soon, sister. Bye-bye. This was a very special, touching blessing to me, as you can see. And as if this were not enough blessing to refresh us in one day, 3 hours and 1 minute later, an email came in from Lisa. She texted me a screen capture of an email from New Zealand Customs letting us know that our bags had finally just cleared customs, and attached was our importation invoice to pay $439.86 New Zealand, which was less than half what we originally expected to pay. Finally, our bags were free. And to show His powerful hand once again, God's timing of doing this was astonishing, just as I had predicted it would be in several previous episodes. Here we are, and I'm saying God is in control of New Zealand Customs, not New Zealand Customs. There are no secondary causes. And this is going to be proved when those bags, I believe, there's no way with the track record God has demonstrated so far in doing everything in our story in particular my whole story in precise periods of biblical time frames, there is no doubt in my mind that God is going to do the same thing with these bags. And that will prove what I'm saying. There is no doubt in my mind that God is going to do the same thing with these bags, and that will prove
what I'm saying with an actual living example.
From June 8th, 2022, the actual date in New Zealand when that email came to Lisa, because she is 17 hours ahead of me, all the way back to April 23rd, 2020, the day that P left and took her bags out of the tiny house, it is exactly 777 days.
Just like the 7 months and 7 days it was when God had me send them off, how amazing would it be if they arrived to Lisa 777 days? I mean, look at this. P removes all of her belongings on April 23rd, 2020. She packs her suitcases and leaves the house. I caught her packing the bags that morning. I did not know she was going to leave that day. She left that day. Now, how remarkable would it be if God takes all my belongings and moves them in 777 days later?
This was the ninth 777-day event I discovered that God has done in my story. When you put it all together, it is astonishing. From July 27th, 2019, the first day of land prep for the tiny house parking in Huntsville, Alabama, and also the same day that P said she could no longer wait for me to file the divorce, or shall we say, to refile because it had been kicked back. From that date to September 11th, 2021, the day the tiny house landed on Auckland, New Zealand soil was 777 days. Then, from April 23rd, 2020, the day P left with her bags, to June 8th, 2022, the day my five bags were finally released from New Zealand Customs, was also 777 days. This was amazing, but this was not all of it. The tiny house was delivered to Lisa on her family's property on September 16th, 2021. The bags were finally delivered to Lisa's porch on June 15th, 2022. This was precisely 9 months to the day later, making it the 10th major event the Lord has done in my life in 9 months to the day, adding even more weight to how many times I had said this in previous episodes.
Those bags will be released on a precise time. There'll be some precise timing.
Exodus 12:41. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Ezekiel 24:2. Son of man, record this date. This very date. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hands. Psalm 75:2, I choose the appointed time. Psalm 139:16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Acts 17:26, He, God, determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Please visit relentlessheart.com/series, the Grace to Love Again series, and click on episode 88 to see the photographic evidences of the events mentioned in this video. One final interesting note that I discovered while I was working on this episode: take note of the fact that this episode primarily is about not just the money, but more importantly, about the release from the frustrations of these bags that were being held back that I knew would be released on a precise date. Take note of the fact that this episode happened to be episode number 88, and it happened to fall that this episode will be posted on YouTube on September 11th, 2022, the very day 1 year later that the tiny house landed on. And it happens that from the day that the bags landed on Lisa's porch on June 15th, 2022, to September 11th, 2022, is 88 days.
that is now featured in episode 88. Brothers and sisters, let me just say this final word for your encouragement. The one solution to the problem of understanding my story and God's perplexing dealings with me is the same solution to perhaps how God may be dealing in a very perplexing way with you. That solution is time. All you need to understand my story is always just a little bit more time than what most people are willing to give. I'd like for you to begin to think of, as you see this story begin to resolve and you see these blessings begin to come and you see the prophetic come to pass, I'd like you to just give thought for a minute to the thousands of people that came to this story and turned away exactly as they did to Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, verse 66. And after this time, many of Jesus' disciples turned away and no longer followed him. Think about how foolish those people would have felt when Jesus Christ was raised up out of that tomb. They would have felt vindicated when they saw him on the cross. They would have said, oh man, this is the hill he dies on, exactly as they said to me. This is the hill he dies on. And what's the problem? People didn't stick around long enough. I too had to wrestle in some bloody moments. I too have had to deal with reversals and complete contradictions and incredible delays of time in my story, just as the great servants of the Lord in the Bible had to. I mean, look at this. God gives Abraham a promise, but then says, oh, it's going to be 25 years until you get it. And he doesn't even tell him it's going to be 25 years. It just is. That is God dealing with him in the very painful matter of delay. Even worse, he deals with him in contradiction. He says, Isaac is going to be the blessing that I give to you, that all these other blessings are going to come from. These promises that I've given to you are going to come through Isaac. The inheritance of the land and the descendants more numerous than the stars and the blessing to all the nations, Isaac. But then he comes along and he deals with Abraham through contradiction and he says, I want you to kill him. Brothers and sisters, if you can see now, those of you who've hung in here long enough, you're beginning to see the story turns. It was only a matter of time, and very few people can wait the amount of time required. Let me again remind you, for Lisa and I to get into this incredible relationship we have, it has not been 21 days, it has not been 21 weeks, it has not been 21 months. It has been 21 previous years of suffering before we even entered into the suffering of our courtship. 21 years, just in marriage, not including all the other years I could throw on that from my life of previous suffering. So again, with God, it is always an issue. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will lift you up. And I would just ask you, how many of you would agree with me that it's been right for me to persevere thus far to that point in this recording? Through all those difficulties, all the stretching racks, all the episodes of being pushed way past our limits, can you imagine if God could just whisper in my ear? And you can see by providence he was, much of which I have hidden from you because I don't record all of God's speaking voices to me in these journal recordings, but you can see how many times God was saying, persevere, and how many times I recorded. You can now begin to go back and listen to those previous episodes, and you can know that is God by providence speaking to me, and what he said is going to come to pass. The only problem that I have, the only problem that people watching this story have, impatience. They don't understand God is very slow. But for those of you who are willing to wait, although it looks today like you're put to shame and the end, no one who hopes in him will ever be put to shame. Let us remember this principle in the here and now for whatever God may have for us today. More importantly, let us all remember it for the hereafter, the great lifting up of resurrection life found only in the name and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in him, the one who died on the cross, saving us from our sins, who was buried 3 days, rose on the third day, revealed himself to over 500 people and the disciples over a 40-day period, who rose and ascended to heaven right in front of their very eyes, who now sits at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for your behalf, granting you the grace, sustaining you throughout all of life and his will and purpose and mission for your life, and who will come again. But brothers and sisters, I want to remind you again, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. He's not coming back as soon as everybody would hope. And the reason why people want him to come back so quickly is because they're afraid of suffering. I have been warning about this for years. Please let those of you who have eyes to see that God is truly with me and that his words are in my mouth, that the words I speak are not my own, they belong to him who sent me. I would say this, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Our God is a God who answers those who obey him and trust him. John 9:31. We know that God does not listen to sinners except for, oh God, save me out of all this. That's the only prayer from a sinner God hears. That's what the Word of God says. He does not hear them, but he hears the man who does what pleases him and obeys his commands. May the Lord continue to bless you and encourage you in your own faith walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.